You are listening to Doom, the Retro Comic Book Show. I'm just a love machine.
I got new comics supposed to come out with this episode on Wednesday. I am slacking. But I promised you, next week I won't. I'll be back on schedule as usual. This week, I had to push my new comics review to Friday. Sorry about that. I'll probably give you a show on Saturday because I'm going to see Total Recall tonight, the remake, even though I'm hearing, you know, there's a lot of bad reviews of it, people not liking it, but this is one of those movies where I already made up my mind, I want to go see it. I may change my mind on the way to the theater and not see it, but for now, I'm going to check it out and give a review of it, because, you know, if this was a movie that had those great special effects, but it wasn't called Total Recall and supposed to be something else altogether, people would go see it and be excited about it. But because it's a remake of a so-called classic, Total Recall, now people want to disown it before it comes out. But, hey, that's your prerogative. I'm not, though. I'm going to go to the movies and check out Total Recall. What else is happening in the news here? Dang, I didn't even have my news page open. But one of the things that happened was Cuba Gooding Jr. got arrested. Oh, well, he turned himself in because he got into an argument with some fans at a bar or a restaurant in New Orleans. And the bartender came up to him and she harassed him. And he supposedly pushed her, which he probably didn't push her that hard. It probably wasn't that big of a deal. They probably were harassing him, but I'm okay with him being arrested because he made Snow Dogs, Daddy Day Camp, Boat Trip, The Rat Race, and numerous other horrible, horrible movies. Oh, The Fighting Temptations that other people forget. That's one of the worst movies with an all-black cast I've ever seen. So, yeah, he deserves to be arrested for that. Let's see what else is going on in the news. Oh! Marvel is liquidating some of its stuff in its warehouse. So, you'll see a lot of these trades on sale. There's, you know, tons of trades that are going out of print. The comic book store I go to, a lot of times they have some of these trades for a low, low price. Let's see. Maybe keep a lookout for, let's see what they got. Avengers, I like anything Avengers. Avengers Prime, Avengers Contest Premiere Hardcover, I don't know what that is. Avengers The Origin. Oh, a bunch of West Coast Avengers Family Ties, Sins of the Past, and West Coast Avengers Assemble. I'm not sure what that is, but I think Family Ties, that might have something to do with Magneto. So that's a good one. One hardcover that is not out of print yet. It just came out, which is the Incredible Hulk run from 286 to number 300 in the mid 80s. I love that. I love that run. I probably still have a bunch of them back in Rochester. I may have it. I don't know. My sister claims she has all my old comics in her attic. So Yeah, it may be up there, but I had most of that run. I loved that. That was one of my chief time for comic books. That's why the Hulk was one of my favorite superheroes, is that Bill Mantlo run. That's why I don't hate Bill Mantlo, because those were great comic books. From Hulk becoming intelligent to him becoming Savage Hulk, a true Savage Hulk, more savage than he ever was is in that run. And it ends with issue number 300, even though I guess some of the issues after that weren't that great, so I guess I can understand them ending it there. That run, that was a great fucking run. Oh, that is the run of the Incredible Hulk that has the guy who tried to kill Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner's walking through an airport, and the guy just came out with a gun and started shooting him. This is pre-911, but then again, this is just walking into the airport. You know, I think even now you don't get checked for guns walking into the front door if you're not getting on an airplane. But, and in the 80s, a guy did do this. The guy pulls out a gun, tries to shoot Bruce Wayne. In real life, a guy waited in the airport as police, you know, was bringing back a criminal who was a child molester. And the father of the child that the child molester raped was waiting on the side by the phone booth. And the cops, I guess they didn't recognize him, supposedly. And he just came out with his gun and blew the child molester's brains out in front of the cops. And the guy had handcuffs on and everything. He just shot him. That was a gruesome video. But the thing that happened in this Hulk story, the exact same thing happened. The difference was there was no cops around, or they weren't able to stop this guy from shooting Bruce Banner. But Bruce Banner turned into the Hulk in an instant and just crushed the guy's gun. And we find out he's a sympathetic character because the Hulk ruined this man's life. This is a storyline that tells about one of the people who are affected by the Hulk, one of Hulk's rampage. The Hulk used to rampage through town after town in the comics throughout the 70s and early 80s, but they never explain, you know, that he, just because he didn't kill anybody doesn't mean he didn't destroy their lives. And this guy tells the Hulk how he destroyed his life. And that was a good issue, except for the fact that I think the guy wasn't in jail at the end. He did try to murder somebody after all. But that was a great run, of course, the Hulk becoming a brute, a savage beast, and all the heroes having to team up to fight him. Great stuff. Even I want that comic. I want to buy that comic book so bad, and I'm not the one to do that. You know, especially if I've already read those stories, I wouldn't be so, you know, I wouldn't care about buying that, but that, I want that. I want that. It's like a trade paperback of 14 issues of the Hulk, a thick trade paperback. What else they got? Yeah, they have a whole bunch of good stuff. Fall of the Hulks, that don't look good, that's Jeff Loeb. And there's a mutant comic book in Ultimate Universe called Ultimate X, and the covers of those things look good. I think one of them is like, who is it? Kitty Pryde versus the Hulk or somebody like that, or somebody of that caliber versus the Hulk. And I want to get it just for that, but then I saw Jeff Loeb's name on it. He's the writer. No, I don't buy nothing by Jeff Loeb. He sucks. Okay, how could you have, like, you could look at something and say, oh, that looks cool, and then see the writer Jeff Loeb. And you'd be right to avoid it. I think he's very overrated. Also, no longer in print, Marvel Man Classics, Volume 1, 2, and 3 hardcover. So y'all check that out. Anything else? S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury versus S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, I heard that was bad. But the Secret Warriors is good. I heard Secret Warriors is real good, and they're putting out a print. The Volume 3, 5, and 6 of those. I heard that's a real good series. Yeah. I think I ought to. I saw those in the 25 cent or the $4 bin in my comic store. I think I might get all the comics to have have that comic book in it, Secret Warriors. I got to check that out. Shadowland, a bunch of the hardcovers dealing with that are being liquidated, but I'm not interested in anything of Shadowland. That didn't interest me. A lot of Spider-Mans, a lot of Thors, and Oh, Ultimate Comics X. Yeah, I'd definitely get that if I could find it. So, that's, yeah. Damn, they always liquidate. I mean, they made trades of every single thing that they have ever. They said, fuck this, we're going to get in on this trade. I wonder how much money they lose when all these, you know, when they get rid of all these comic books, when they say, okay, we got surplus. And, they have a trailer out for Dark Knight Returns, the part one, the animated. At first, I was like, nah, I don't need to see any more stories that I've already seen or already read in the comic books out on DC films, especially with Batman. They got everything Batman under the Red Hood, whatever that thing is called, the Red Hood. What's the other one? Oh, Batman Year One. Now they're doing Dark Knight. It's like, I have no interest. And I have this cartoon, but I do have this cartoon called a Batman Mystery of the Batwoman. And I want to see that bad. I have it, but I haven't got a chance to watch it yet. So I hope that's good. But otherwise, now I'm all burnt out on Batman. But I saw the trailer for Dark Knight Part 1, Dark Knight Returns Part 1. And that looks good, even though the art doesn't look like Frank Miller's art. It still is, it just looks, I think I might have to get that, because that's going to be good. Let's see here. There's some other things that's going on. I know there's some other things that's going on that I wanted to talk about. But, I saw the Red Band trailer of Judge Dredd. With Carl Urban. Yeah, I gotta see this. Even though Carl Urban doesn't strike me as a dread-like presence when I'm looking at him. Like somebody said, I can't remember. There's another actor who someone named. I'm sure there's a dozen actors who, if you put on a Judge Dredd outfit, you'd be like, yeah, I want to see this guy as Judge Dredd. But Carl Urban, he just looks too much like a pretty boy, even though you're just seeing his chin. That's the only problem I have. And the girl playing Judge Anderson, she looks like a little pretty girl. I mean, Judge Anderson is pretty the way they draw her. But she looks like, this girl looks really young, like 18. And it's like, no, I want somebody more experienced looking to play somebody like Charlize Theron. I like her. Have her play Judge Anderson. But it's too late now. And they didn't highlight any powers that Judge Anderson's supposed to have. She's supposed to be like have psi abilities. At least I assume that's who this girl is in this trailer, because they say Judge Anderson is in the movie, and that the movie does kind of remind you and look like the Raid Redemption movie that just came up. That just came out because Judge Dredd and Judge Anderson are trapped in a building full of criminals, and they got to fight their way up to the top to get the. Her name is Mama, or something like that, Mama. And she's a drug dealer. One of the biggest drug dealers in Mega City 1. I just hope they do some Mega City 1 stuff outside of, before they get into that building, that block that they have to find Mama in. Oh, man, I look forward to that. I really do look forward to that. So, like I said, if nobody goes and watch it, I'm going to watch it. Okay, I'm going to try to enjoy it. But let me review the comic books that I have here. Hawkeye from Matt Fraction. Hawkeye number 1 came out this week. August 1st. Let me see what my notes say here. First of all, I'm looking at the cover, and the font is very fashionable, very chic. It's too hip for its own good. I have a feeling that little, because I think a logo or a logo font for the character could make or break the comic book. And this Hawkeye, even though it's cute, it's not supposed to be cute. It's supposed to be, oh damn, Hawkeye, let's go get it, let's buy it. But no, that that comic may fail just on that logo. But anyway, the comic book, the issue opens up with that famous shot of Hawkeye that we see in the Avengers trailer, where he's falling off the building and he's shooting the arrow up toward the camera as he's falling down. He's shooting the arrow at us. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I like when a comic book and the movie based on the comic book character has a synergy with the, you know, I just love that synergy. And I like seeing the comic books and seeing the band on top of the movie saying, oh, Green Lantern coming out, you know, July 8th, 2011 or whatever, or Dark Knight, the band's on top of the Dark Knight comic book, or all the DC comic books saying Dark Knight Rises coming out, you know, in July. And it's like, yeah. I think that I like that synergy. It excites me more. And I also like when the comics have little nods to the movie. Like, remember in the 80s, the mid-80s, right before Supergirl's character died in DC Comics, she was wearing those sweatbands around her head, those white sweatbands. And it's like, why is she doing that? It looks kind of stupid. It's because the movie, they were going to do that. And that's why they changed it in the comic books. So I like that. If the, you know, she looked like the comic book or the movie version of Supergirl in the comics, even better. I love that stuff. So I'm okay with that. But unfortunately, in the movie, he lands on his feet. He lands good. As he falls from the building, he finds a way to escape. In this comic book, not so much. He falls and keeps falling until he crashes into the car. He should have been dead, but he was out for 6 months. And I don't see how he was out for 6 months, because he broke all kinds of things. He broke many bones in his body. His pelvis was broken, okay? You ain't going to just be walking 6 months after that and doing the things that he does 6 months after that. But then again, this is a superhero universe. And the story itself is basically, it's a regular guy story. And they make that clear on the inside, on the second page of the comic book. They say, Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye, became the greatest sharpshooter known to man. Then he joined the Avengers. This is what he does when he's not being an Avenger. And basically, that's what it is. It's like him going home to his apartment, dealing with his landlords. And there's, in this case, he's dealing with the fact that his landlord wants to triple everybody's rent so they can be kicked out and he can take over the building and use it for something else, some profit. Some people wanted to buy the building from him, which is kind of, it was just illegal and just fucked up. But this woman, this black woman, is getting kicked out of her apartment with her two children. Of course, here we go with the stereotype. This is the problem I have. That stereotype. She's got the baby in her hand. She's got another small child in the other hand. And the landlord, who is like a Russian landlord, and his henchmen, goons, are like these Russians or Armenians with, I don't know what they is. They don't make it clear what they are, but they make it clear they're like of a European descent, not American, and they still have the accent. And they call him a bro. That's why it reminds me of an Armenian. Those guys are dressed in tracksuits with a gold chain, stereotype. Meanwhile, as the black woman is getting kicked out of her apartment. Now, he's been gone. Clint Barton has been gone for 6 months. Okay, why wasn't he all his shit taken out when he went to the hospital? Why wasn't he kicked out like a couple months after, you know? And I shouldn't say a couple months. It's only 6 weeks. But yeah, he would have been kicked out, man, the minute he was late with rent. But the black woman goes to Clint, as he's coming up to his apartment. She's like, they're kicking me out, Clint, can they do that? And she hands him her lease, and he has to explain to her, yeah, they can't kick her out. It's like, okay, once again, stereotype of black woman, bunch of kids, no husband, because there's no husband in sight, and stupid, because she has to ask Clint Barton, is this right? Can I get kicked out of my house for not paying the rent in my apartment? Yes, bitch, you can. I hated that. And why does he lives in Bed-Stuy. All this takes place in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. Why does he live there? He could be living in Manhattan. Especially something that he does later on in the comic book. I don't understand why he lives in Brooklyn, why he lives in a tenement with a bunch of people, and they have the requisite, you know, all me and my neighbors on the rooftop cooking out. I've been reading this this screenwriting book called Save the Cat, and one of its rules in there is beginning of a screenplay, you have to have the hero save the cat, which indicates, you know, that the character is going to like him because he goes out of his way to help others or other living things, other living people. That's what that's supposed to infer. So here they have a great save the cat scene, except it's a dog. So you might as well call it Save the Dog. That endears you to Clint. And I recommend this comic book, okay? I like it. And also, it was a done-in-one story, just an introduction to the comic book world of Hawkeye. So I dig it. I recommend it. 5 out of 5. The other comic, Avengers Academy, is part 1 of 4. But I said, you know what? Usually I like done-in-one stories. But I want to read some of this Avengers Academy after hearing about it on Lynn Kara's web show called Atop the Fourth Wall. I said, okay, let me check out Avengers Academy. And I'm mad I missed the initiative, you know, the Avengers initiative. I missed all those issues. So let me start here. I'm starting at issue 34. Dang! Okay. But it starts out on the beach with two characters. Well, first of all, the first page, they do a smart thing. And they do it very well. They introduce you to all of the students, all of the main characters of this comic book. Of course, their name and picture. But then next to that, they give their power and what kind of person they are. But they do it so succinctly, so brief. This is what you're supposed to do, writers. This is what you're supposed to do to get people acquainted without talking their head off. For instance, okay, here's a character. Vale. Variable gas generator. Unseen potential until she discorporates. So it tells your power to tell you something about her. Okay, let's see here. Metal. The character Metal. Steel skin powerhouse. Armored shell protecting inner fillings. I read that wrong. I read it all broken up, but this. He has a steel skin powerhouse. He's a steel skin powerhouse. So you know he has steel skin like a Colossus. And it says armored shell protecting inner feelings, which is a clever way. You talk about his armored shell, how it protects him, but also protects. He's a sensitive guy. So that's great that you just read those, do those quick, and you get who these characters are. And if you see him pop up later and you forget their name, you just look up back at the beginning of the comic book. That's a genius way to introduce a team or, you know, to people who haven't read your comic before. But I was mad at the beginning because Metal. Okay, here's two characters that I read. Did I read her? No, I didn't read Hazmat. Hazmat, she's a female. She's a human toxic spill, caustic personality. So basically she has to wear a suit all the time because she's toxic, okay, like Britney Spears, toxic. And Metal is just like a Colossus, except he's Colossus all the time. He can't turn back to a human. There's nobody he can really touch or get along with. But that, I guess that's why him and Hazmat got together, because they're in a relationship. Everybody's on vacation. And those two are at the beach. Meanwhile, he's got steel hard skin. No, it's steel. His skin is steel. She's in a hazmat suit on a hot beach in Kauai or whatever that is in Hawaii, I guess. What? I don't think so, but I don't think they would be hanging out there. They'd be hanging out in Aspen or something trying to get some snow. Basically, that's it with the intro. was good, but it turns out there's this rich guy. He's like Richie Rich, a rich kid, who claims he can help them lose their powers. Therefore, they could be human again because they, you know, they were lamenting about the fact that they can't enjoy the beach because they have hazmat suits on and still hard skin. Meanwhile, another little aside in the story is that they've been kicked out of their campus due to the Avengers versus X-Men. Various team members and villains in this issue, a bunch of people in this issue, they reference how dumb and drawn out Avengers X-Men is. And I agree, because simply you can't afford to keep up with that, so therefore you're not reading any of them. Or you reading some of them, getting part of the story. And I think that's, you know, I'm tired. And not only that, it's going on for months and months. It seems like it's been going on for a year, even though it probably hasn't been nowhere near that long. But it's like, what was I going to say? I'm losing my concentration, a little bit tired. But, yeah, Avengers, I feel left out of the game of Avengers versus X-Men. And so does this comic book. So do the characters in this comic book. They're like, these assholes fighting, now we can't go to school in our regular place. I like that. There's even a mention by Hazmat. She says, I thought they'd reopen the academy in a day, maybe two, but this Avengers versus X-Men crap just keeps dragging on. Exactly, girl. Exactly. Okay, so there's a... yeah, basically that's that. I recommend both of these comic books. I'm going to get number two of the Avengers Academy. And also, I want to let you guys know, because I've fallen off with the schedule, I'm going to redo it. I'm going to come back next week and be on schedule. I got to tell you this one. I went to a comic book store, the bookstore Barnes & Nobles, and they have a comic book section, and I saw this graphic novel type comic book, paperback comic book, really, is what it was. And there was two of them. There were three. One said Marvel in the 60s. The other two are Marvel in the 70s, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And it's like, those were some cool-looking stories. Like, some characters who you never knew their origin, because it was so long ago that the creators wanted to bring them back. Some of those characters, their origins are in these comic books from the 70s. And I was looking through this. It's like a mismatch of different Marvel 70s comic books. And it's weird. And I like it. I like it a lot. But I said, I need to buy this comic book. The comic book is $30 because it's in color and it's a dick trade of reprints. You ain't going to tell me that they could have charged less since they didn't have to pay a writer. Anyway, I lost track of what I was fucking talking about. So this is going to be a good show for y'all. It's like, damn, this motherfucker is just losing track of it. I'm going to finish up this show. Oh, then I'm going to get some rest and get out of here. But I will want... now I remember what I was saying. Yeah, their 70 comic books look good, but their reprints are $30. I was looking at some of them. I was like, I got some of those comic books. I have some of those fucking comic books. Why do I need to buy this to review these stories when I have better 70s comic books plus some of the ones they were talking about? So next week is sequential art of the 70s on Friday. On Wednesday, a book review. And I'm also doing I'm just going to do a book review. And, of course, a bad comic. And Mondays, I am going to be doing something. I don't know yet. But I hope y'all join me then. Oh, some of the comic books I got up for review coming up in the 70s comic books are Black Goliath 1 and, like, 1 and 3 or something like that I have. 1 and 3 or 1 and 4. Then Richard Dragon Kung Fu Fighter number 18, and a crossover from Man-Thing number 4 and Doc Strange number 41. Even though it's dated 1980, it's really a 70s comic book, 70s story. So I'm going to let y'all go, get some rest. I'm going to go see Total Recall. Until next time, peace.